Okay, quick side note. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I'm working on my self-discipline with my self-care, and it's a journey, but I am making some progress thanks to this tool. So I've been using my Loombox red light therapy before bed, and I'm honestly loving it. It's one of those things I didn't fully understand at first, but now I'm reaching for it without thinking. So I could be that annoying person that lists out all the thousands of studies about red light therapy, but instead I'm just going to tell you why I'm personally using it. So I'm using it to help with my inflammation because unfortunately I have a lot of it. I'm also using it for cell regeneration for my skin. I'm using it to help regrow my hair. I've even used it on my kids when viruses are going through our house. So as a mom of four and a business owner, the relaxation I'm experiencing before bed is honestly life-changing. And so if you're curious about red light therapy and want to give it a try, you can actually take $260 off with my link in the show notes. So go check it out. Hi there. Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. I'm Caitlin James. I'm your host, and this is a very exciting episode because I am joined in my closet, because that's where I record these things, with my sister. And she didn't realize that I record these things by myself in my closet, but I do. And it is a very sad sight. We just recently announced that we are both pregnant. And we have received a lot of questions. And because we are moms, both moms of two kids, three and under, there are not many days where we feel like getting dressed up and makeup and hair to do videos. So we decided the best way to answer these questions is to do a podcast episode together. So we announced that we are pregnant again for the third time. This is my fourth pregnancy, but every time that we have had a pregnancy that resulted in a living child, I have always been pregnant with my sister, and we found out back in March that we were pregnant together again. Our first two are 8 weeks apart. Our second children, technically our third, but our second children here on Earth are three months apart, yes. And then these babies are due 3 days apart.
We're crazy.
And a lot of questions have been asked about, did we plan this?
No.
No, we did not. Also, people have said before that our voices sound alike, which I don't hear that. But people,
when we listen back to this, we really won't sound alike.
Yeah.
I hate how I sound recorded.
Well, some people are going to listen to this and they might not be able to tell a difference. Hmm. But either way, I mean, we're very excited about this. A lot of questions have come in. And we decided, let's just answer them here. So one question was, did we plan it? And the answer was no. We've never planned this. Like, we've never said, hey, let's try to have a kid around the same time.
If we had planned it, you would have gotten pregnant first because you were
trying first. Well, not trying.
You were
first.
A little offended when I told you.
I think one of my words.
Gosh, how are you always first?
Yes. I said it out of love.
Sure.
Yes, we've never planned this, but I do think something that plays into it, which we've never really talked about in depth, but, you know, there is something about when women are together for, like, majority of their life.
Let's get into that on a podcast.
That their cycles become the same.
Sure.
My roommates in college, that happened.
Yeah. And we're around each other pretty much every day of the week.
Yeah. If you don't know our story as sisters, we, along with Michael, run our business together.
And Morgan.
And my mom.
It's a family affair.
And many other contracted workers. We work together in this business. And that means that Emily brings her kids over. And, you know, 4 days out of the week, we have 9-to-5 work days. And then the days we don't see each other, somehow we always end up seeing each other. So we're together a lot. And basically, we knew that we wanted to have three kids. We also knew that, you know, we didn't want to have a big gap between our children. And I honestly am really excited to get to a season of life, and so are you, where we know, like, we're done having children and we can work on getting back in shape and kind of getting our bodies back. So
it's very hard to do that when you know, oh, I'm probably going to have another baby in the next year or two.
Yeah, that's the hope. And then you kind of just, yeah, it's, we actually, both of us were like on a pattern working out at the gym. And really getting into, like, we're like, okay, we're doing this. And then right after we got into a really great rhythm, found out we were pregnant.
Well, first COVID happened.
Yes.
And so that messed up the gym routine. And mm-hmm. then we found out we were pregnant.
Yes. So people have also asked, how did you tell each other? And I wish the story was better, but
it
what happened was
better. I was planning.
I ruined it.
Yes. Joe and I had found out and kept it a secret, just the two of us, for about a week. And we were planning to tell the entire family on Easter Sunday because we were all going to be together. And Caitlin, even though we had been together all week, that Saturday was like our one day not to be together. And I was so relieved because I didn't have to try and keep this secret from her because I'm horrible at keeping secrets. And she texted me saying, hey, can we please come over and ride bikes in your neighborhood? I'm like, okay.
The kids. We don't ride bikes. Yes, I mean, that's kids. Not a weird thing, but you know.
Sure. So they came over. We're on a neighborhood walk. And Caitlin literally gets up in my face and just says,
I wasn't up in your face. I just stopped and looked at you.
But you were like a foot away from my face. So you could tell if I looked weird. Yeah. And you just said, are you pregnant? And it caught me off guard, and I couldn't lie in that moment. So I said, yes.
I actually don't think you said anything. I saw your face, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're pregnant.
And then the next thing you said was,
how are you always first? Well, you have always been first.
Right. So then I think Michael said, okay, you could be pregnant, too. You don't know.
And I said, oh, there's no way, because the weeks leading up to that moment, I had had a lot of energy. I was like getting a lot of stuff done. That was the phase where I was like buying organizational bins on Amazon and reorganizing every closet in my house. I even created a leftover bin for my fridge. Like I was doing weird things, but I just thought if I was pregnant, I would feel more tired and I would just feel different. But then I started thinking, well, I have had like a little bit of pain if I like roll over in bed too fast, which makes me sound like a 90-year-old woman, but like round ligament pain, which that's crazy that would start so early. But I don't know. In the back of my mind, I thought, I'm not pregnant. There's no way. But I did go home immediately about an hour after leaving Joe and Emmy's house, took a pregnancy test. And you know how when, you know, you see the line kind of cross over, you're supposed to wait 3 minutes. Well, as the line like is crossing over, there's a double line. I mean, it was very clear. And I walked out of the bathroom and I'm like, oh my gosh, Michael, you're not going to believe this. Then we FaceTimed Joe and Emmy. I don't even remember what we said. We videoed it. I have a video of it, but.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But we freaked out for a few minutes and then started thinking like,
how are we going to tell Mimi?
Well, first we started thinking, oh my gosh, these are really close together.
Yeah.
And we realized like probably two or three days.
Yeah.
Like super close. And then Caitlin and Michael decided to hijack our tell everybody on Easter Sunday.
Okay. We decided together. We don't want to steal your thunder. And you're like, well, we can't not do it together.
Right. So it became all of our plan, which was great.
Yes.
So on Easter Sunday, we had the four kids. Well, really just the big kids. But we had the four kids together. And Micah said, two is great. And Evie said, four is fun. And then Caitlin and I both said, and we're both having another one. And our mom almost passed out.
Yes. So our mom, for those of you who don't know, she works for the business. And she would do this even if she didn't get paid to. But she is not in a season. Our parents are very young. So our parents are not in the retirement season quite yet. And so she works for us and does childcare along with another girl named Whitney that we love. And they watch the kids. And honestly, keeping those four kids, I wish I could say our kids are easy, but
Some days they are.
Some days they're not, though.
Yeah. So well, they spend so much time together, they act more like siblings than friends, and so they fight like siblings.
Yeah. So we quickly recognized, like, oh my gosh, this is going to be crazy. There's going to be six kids between the two of us, and we spend so much time together, it's going to feel like a little bit of chaos. But we're really excited because what has happened in the midst of COVID is our husbands can't go to appointments. And if you know our story, which probably most of you do, that we had a 20-week ultrasound with our second baby and like our whole life fell apart. So we saw his skull was shaped abnormally. His arms and limbs were short. His heart had a defect, and he had a hygroma and swelling in his abdomen. He was taking in fluid. And we just basically knew that day from that ultrasound, this baby's not going to survive. So I'm terrified of ultrasounds. And our first ultrasound, I was supposed to go into the office by myself. And I know it's a simple ultrasound. It's a heartbeat check and to measure the baby, but I was so scared. And so we called the OB office and I begged them. I said, my sister is due literally like the same time as me. Can we please do our ultrasound together? I know that kind of breaks the COVID rules, but could we please be together? We're going to be in the waiting room at the same time anyway. And they let us do it. And it was awesome because that kind of set the precedent for us. And we have done our appointments together every time.
Yeah, which were kind of, I feel like, a joke in the office. Yes. It's like, all the sisters are here.
Yeah, all those, they have to do every, someone said, last time we had to get blood work done, like standard beginning of pregnancy blood work. And the lady at the front desk said, do you need your sister to go with you for this? I said, no, I'm fine. So I think they think we have a big codependency problem, and it's probably just me, not so much Emmy. So another question we've received is, are we finding out what we're having? And that is a big family debate.
It's still up for debate.
For you.
Yes.
For me, Caitlin, in case our voices sound alike, Michael and I are not finding out. And that is not my decision. That was Michael's decision. He is very chill about everything, but he had a very strong opinion about not finding out. And so I just feel like, out of respect for him, we're not going to find out, which... I don't know. That's hard.
I know. And I feel like I can't find out because you even told me, well, you can't find out and we not find out because that's confusing for Micah and Evie.
Micah's walking around.
I'm like, okay, great. So Michael made my decision too.
No. You're probably thinking, oh man, this family, they're just way too close. But we are very excited. I just feel like we've both weathered storms with pregnancies. We've been through hard season. So I just feel like, you know, yes, it's kind of risky to be pregnant at the same time. Like if something doesn't go well for one of us, it's going to hurt extra because we want to be in this together. But that's not, you know, nothing is saying that that's going to happen. I know for me, the fear of what has happened to us in the past, can kind of make me go down that road of the what ifs. But I've been working really hard in coaching and just in my own self-discipline to realize like that really doesn't do anything. And I've also realized, which Emmy's good at actually making me realize, because she and I are very different in the way we process things. I'm kind of glass half empty and I'm the worrier and she's the realist who doesn't get upset unless she needs to be upset.
Right. Until you know you need to be upset, why worry?
Yeah. See, I don't think like that. So, but I have realized recently that our coach kind of explained that it is way easier for me to make up in my mind what it's going to be like how I would react if I got horrible news and to prepare myself. That seems like the responsible thing to do, but really it's more self-disciplined to recognize when I'm going down that path and decide I have no reason to go down that path. I have nothing leading me to think that. So that's been a good learning experience for us. We've had a few situations and a few appointments where I'm freaking out, you know, thinking something's wrong. And Emmy's like...
Well, we can share what that example
okay.
is.
Okay. So that's your example.
12-week appointment, I mm-hmm. guess?
Yeah.
Which we realized during this appointment that, oh, it might be a little, not awkward, uncomfortable, I guess, to be in there together if one of us were to get bad news.
Yeah.
But then the other one hop up on the table and get good news. Like, that would just be a weird situation. So, Caitlin hopped up on the table first, did the heartbeat check. Everything looked great. Then it was my turn. And I got up there and the nurse struggled. Yeah. And it was several minutes and she wasn't able to find a heartbeat. And I'm panicking a little inside, but don't say anything. And she made a comment like, it sounds like the heartbeat's like just hiding under your heartbeat. And I said, oh, so you can tell there's a heartbeat. And she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go get the portable ultrasound and the doctor. I'm like, okay, great. So she leaves and Caitlin started
like,
freaking out.
I mean, I'm like, I'm gonna get sick. I gotta go to the bathroom. I like ran to the bathroom.
And she's like, oh my gosh, we just gotta start praying. Like, oh no, this could be awful. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, but we don't know yet. Like, we don't, which is just funny because it wasn't happening to you.
Right. It was
And it was a long wait. The nurse was gone like 15, 20 minutes.
Yes.
And when the doctor came in, did the ultrasound, everything was perfectly fine. The baby was just kind of under my C-section scar tissue. And so it was hard to read with the Doppler thing. But it is interesting how we each responded to that situation.
Yes. And whether that's just how I'm wired or, sorry, it just started raining. So even though we're in our closet, you can probably hear the rain coming down. Even though I am a natural warrior, I think a lot of what we've lived through plays into how I respond to fear, but also is good
for
me to...
Which is very understandable.
Well, yes. But it's good for me to recognize, like, there's other options there. And Emily's good at naturally being more calm in situations where a lot of people would have a lot of fear. So, overall, are there other questions that we've missed that you remember?
Well, we had mentioned talking about how different we are when it comes to having the baby.
Yes. A lot of people don't realize this, but, I mean, Emmy and I are very similar. We do everything together.
Except for childbirth.
Childbirth for us is extremely, we have polar opposite views, which I think has actually made us better people. To be able to have
well-rounded perspectives.
Okay, so you can explain your experience.
I'm a diehard fan of a scheduled C-section.
She loves them.
I've already picked my date for this baby. with my first, I labored for like a day, but not intense labor, and then ended in a C-section. And it wasn't an emergency. I just wasn't progressing and had a great recovery. And I know not everybody has a great C-section experience, but I did. And then second time around, Harper was measuring very similar to Micah, my first, and so opted to do a scheduled C-section. And it was...
She walked herself in.
A glorious experience.
Had her playlist playing.
I mean, within 2 hours of getting to the hospital, I was holding my baby, wasn't tired at all.
Makeup still looked great.
Less than 48 hours later, was back at home. Felt normal.
She walked the same day as her surgery, like 10 hours later, and was,
less than 10 hours
was
later.
Fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you are kind of like a C-section unicorn. Like,
sure. But I've heard of a lot of women that do have that similar experience. And so I'm planning to do that again, and hopefully everything will go smooth again. But Caitlin, on the other hand,
I have a very different, I mean, even with Evie, my approach and my thought process was different. I kind of went down the rabbit hole of researching natural birth, and I knew that's what I wanted. But I had a lot of complications with Evie. Like, I had gestational diabetes as a first-time mom and with a huge baby. My OB said I couldn't deliver her, scheduled my C-section without me knowing it. Like, we got a call from the doctor, was like, or from the hospital. It was like, your surgery's scheduled for Thursday. And I'm like, what surgery? And like, oh, you're having a cesarean? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not even past my due date. I'm not having a C-section. So anyway, had to be induced because of Evie's size. She was 9 pounds, 10 ounces. It's not like they were lying to me. She was massive. But I had her vaginally with an epidural. It was in labor for like 29 hours, and my Pitocin was through the roof.
One of us do well with Pitocin.
No. And I wish that I could have just, waited to go into labor, do it on my own. And I was looking forward to that, but that was kind of stripped from me, and I did everything I could to avoid a C-section. I'm very proud of Evie's birth. I'm thankful that I did it that way because it proved like I could push her out no problem. And then baby James happened. And again, even though it was a sad situation, like, I still wish that I could have a birth that I wanted. But, you know, you can't wait to go into labor with a baby that has severe conditions that are affecting your health. So I was induced with him, gave birth to him. He was breech, so that was interesting. And then with Graham, it was like, I want to prove that I am not broken and I can do a pregnancy without something being wrong with me. And the other problem with Evie's birth is that I had a giant cell tumor that popped up in my hand and was eating away at my knuckle. And there was a risk of amputating a large portion of the hand that produces all the money for our business because it's my trigger finger. So that was another complication. I had emergency surgery at 9 months pregnant with her. So I just had not had a normal experience in Graham's pregnancy. I didn't have diabetes. I didn't have high blood pressure. I didn't have anything. Oh, I got preeclampsia after James. That's another complication. As soon as he came out, my blood pressure just went through the roof. So I just have a long list of problems. And but for Graham, I waited to go into labor and labored at home for 5 hours, went to the hospital, it was 5.5 centimeters, and then he was born 2.5 hours later, and I didn't have an epidural, and he was 9 pounds, 14 ounces. And I felt like, I just felt like I could conquer anything.
I'm glad you feel empowered. No part of me wants to experience that.
I always say to Emmy, I'm like, I wanted her to go into labor so bad with Harper.
You're like, don't you just want to experience labor?
And you're like, nope.
No.
I don't.
I feel like a mom and I get to have my baby still. Like it's, you know, I don't need to push a baby out of down there.
Just to feel like, oh, I know what it feels like.
I feel empowered enough.
Yes. And to me, she says like, why would you put yourself through that? There's drugs you could take. So,
but I'm proud of you, and I think that's great
proud
that,
of you.
That's the route that you wanted and were able to have happen.
Yeah, and I would even say I think it was great for me to experience. I was there for Harper's birth and experienced the C-section and have a lot of respect for people who recover well from a C-section because I saw what goes on, and it is intense.
She was in there taking pictures and kind of was standing where the drape is, so she was seeing what was happening down there with my belly, and then could see me awake and was talking to me. And several times you said, are you okay? Do you feel anything that they're doing?
Like, no, nothing. So we have very different approaches to birth, but I think we have very similar approaches to parenting, to, you know, we share the same values. We believe the same things. We want the same things for our kids when it comes to character and how they grow up. And so it's kind of great that the thing we differ on the most is something that I think allows us to have a lot more compassion and empathy. Like if Emmy wasn't, if her story wasn't how it was, I could very easily be the person that's like super like vocal and crazy about like, everybody should do natural births just because that's what I prefer. And that's not true. So I'm very thankful for her perspective because it's allowed me to see, like, you know, a lot of what you read if you go down the natural birth, you know, education path, talks about how, you know, how awful C-sections are. But when you've experienced someone who loves them and it works great for them, you realize, you know what, maybe it's not that bad after all. It's actually a gift to some people. And, you know, I think for you, maybe you see, like, you might not understand why I would want a natural birth, but you
but
see how.
I respect
how,
it.
Yes. And you see, like, how much it means to me, and you respect it because of that. So, So anyway, we are excited to not feel sick. Emmy's been more sick than I have been, and that has been not so fun. But other than that, we're doing really well, and we are continuing to run a business as sisters and business partners and mom of 4 kids combined. And it's a wild ride.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. We're hiding in the closet for sound purposes.
It's kind of nice.
And because no one can find us in here. If Mike or Evie opened the door right now, they'd be like, what you doing in here? So anyway, we hope this answers some of your questions about this last, what we think is the last pregnancy for both of us. And we're excited to meet these little people, whether they're boy or girl. A boy or a girl. We don't know.
Maybe
I won't know.
Maybe this time we'll have the same gender.
Yeah. That'd be a first. So anyway, for those of you who say things like, oh my gosh, do you plan this? Oh my gosh, this is kind of strange. We recognize that it's strange. We do.
We love it.
But we do love it. It's great. So I'm glad. Thank you for doing this with me. Thanks
You're
for sitting
welcome.
In my closet during a thunderstorm. And Emmy, this isn't Emmy's favorite thing to do in the world, but she's humoring me. Actually, I'm answering a lot of questions
it's
all
great.
At once.
Yes, it's wonderful.
So thanks for tuning in. We will do more baby updates probably through Instagram, but honestly, our life's a little too busy sometimes to even think about being pregnant. So next time we are going to do, I actually have an outline for talking through how to maintain strong and healthy adult friendships with your siblings, you know, once you're grown up, once you are not living at home together. And so we're going to do a podcast episode on that coming up. I don't know. Maybe you should just do that one with me too.
Oh,
no?
Great.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in.